happy Feast of Trumpets to everyone. It's hard to believe now. The feast days are here. And I could not say a sermon without referring back to Leviticus 23. So I'm going to go back quickly, and you can follow with me. Leviticus 23. And you probably know where I'm going. These are the feast days of God. And it says in verse 1, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feasts of the Lord." Now that's very, very important. God wants us to realize these are His feast days, not man's. He's given them to us. He's blessed us with the knowledge and the understanding of the purpose and plan that He has for mankind. What a wonderful blessing to know the feast days of God and what they mean for each and every one of us. It's a fantastic plan that God has for us. Brethren, we see the fulfillment of these days, we will be awed by the power, the might, and the loving kindness that our God, Jesus Christ, will as well reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, especially on this day. So I'm just going to go over quickly Leviticus 23. We know about the Sabbath. We are very, very blessed to know and understand the Sabbath and what the Sabbath means for each and every one of us. Then we go down to verse 4. "Now these are the feasts of the Lord's holy convocations," which is what we're keeping today. "On the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover." And Christ became our lamb, or the Passover. "On the 15th day is the days of unleavened bread," which we had the opportunity of observing earlier this year. And of course, that is putting out not only the sin in our lives, but putting in righteousness and character. Then we get the Feast of Pentecost. And that's a long scripture reading here in Leviticus 23. Again, I didn't want to take the time. I wasn't sure if I was going to say good morning or good afternoon. But I'll say good afternoon. And then we'll go on to now, this is the fourth part of God's plan. He has a seven-part plan that God has for mankind and what He plans to do and how He will intervene on behalf of mankind. We kept the first three, and today we're keeping the fourth plan. Now, when we think about the plan of God in the fourth, particularly the Feast of Trumpets, there's many things we can think about. You can think about the trumpets, of course, and we heard the blast of the shofar. And the shofar is a warning. It does warn out to the people of what is coming. And Revelation reveals that as well to each and every one of us, that we can study and understand what the plan is for this day. We can also read about the return of Jesus Christ and the emphasis that He has and why He must come back and what the great plan is for that as well. That's all part of this day as well. We can read about the terrible things that are going to happen. And Ken briefly touched on some of the things that are going to happen to this earth and to mankind. But today, I thought I'd go with one of the other great events that take place, and that's the resurrection. I thought I'd talk about the resurrection today. Now, this Feast of Trumpets holds a special and an exciting time for each and every one of us, because it shows the fall festival season, what God has planned for mankind, and particularly for each and every one of us. This is a great day for each and every one of us, because of the resurrection that will be taking place. Most people don't fully understand what the resurrections are about. We even have individuals that we talked with from time to time, my wife and I. They know it's in the Bible, but they can't understand, well, if we're up in heaven, why do we have to come back and be resurrected and back up in heaven again? It's confusing, very confusing. But we're not going to be in heaven. It's very obvious. We're going to be resurrected from the graves. That's where we're going to be when we die. And the exciting part is those of us who will live to see the return of Jesus Christ will be changed to eternal life. What a fantastic part of the plan of God. If we have the opportunity, some of us will possibly, maybe it's our children, maybe it's our children's children. We don't know the time. We know it's going to come. We know Christ is coming. He promises, and His promises are real, and that we will have the opportunity to see Christ coming. Now, whether we will see it after we're resurrected, because many of us may die, we don't know what's going to happen from next day to the next. But the resurrection is sure. And is in the Word of God for each and every one of us to be encouraged. And if we happen to have the opportunity of living and seeing Christ return, what a fantastic opportunity to be changed from physical to spiritual. Now, I see a lot of the children running around here today. I was talking with Jerry earlier, and I was saying, wow, when we become spirit beings, we'll be just like them, lots of energy, and we won't ever get tired. It's a fantastic opportunity that God has for us. The plan of God gives all these wonderful blessings, and we need to understand about the resurrection and what it's all about. Let's look at Matthew 24. Matthew 24, and we'll look at verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. Now, this tribes of the earth are going to be saddened to see Christ return. We're going to be gladdened. So this day has a lot of mixture feelings. There's joy for us because we understand the plan of God and what we're going to be doing in the plan of God. But there's also sadness when we see the world being destroyed bit by bit and piece by piece with the trumpets that will be sounding. There should be sadness in our hearts too to know that mankind refuses to repent. With all the things that take place at the return of Jesus Christ, you would think that finally they would say, huh, let's give praise to God and let's do something different. No, they actually curse God and they want to fight God. It's amazing when he comes back. They want to actually fight, and they think, in their minds, they think they're going to destroy God, which is Jesus Christ coming back, and the saints will be dwelling with him. It's amazing. But it says, the earth will mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and with great glory, as Ken was saying this morning. Everyone's going to see Christ return. They have no excuse to say, well, I didn't know Christ was coming back. I didn't know. They will see Christ come back, and they will know it's Christ, and yet they will still reject. It says, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. And so there's a gathering. There's a gathering of the elect. Now, when does that happen? When does that gathering of the elect happen? Well, let's continue. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians, we'll look at chapter 4, and we'll read verse 13. Now here it tells us when this gathering of the elect takes place, and it gives a little bit of more information about who's going to be involved in this gathering. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep. Now, in reference to them who are asleep, these are God's people, the faithful, the true followers of God, who have been faithful, who have endured to the end of their lives, that they're asleep, that we do not sorrow even at others which have no hope. Well, brethren, they've been waiting in the graves for this day when it is fully fulfilled. For if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, now this is very important, if you believe in Jesus died and rose again, even so them that are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So Jesus was the first resurrection. And if Jesus was not resurrected, we have no hope. There is no hope for us. But we understand that Jesus Christ was resurrected, and he is coming back, and he will resurrect his people. And for this say unto you the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall unto the coming of the Lord shall not proceed. So it's very important to understand the order that God is going to call his people. We will not precede those which are asleep. So the first ones to rise will be those who have died and are in the grave. Now, I often thought about that. I thought, wouldn't it be fantastic if God called each one by name? Moses, rise. Abraham, rise. Paul, rise. It would take forever. I don't think that's how it's going to happen, but I think they will know. When God cries out with a loud voice and the shout of an angel, that they will rise. And what a fantastic opportunity to see them rising in the air. And we would want to be with them. Well, brethren, we will. because we're the next group that changes from physical to spiritual. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing. And know and understand the plan of God. And that is found over in Corinthians. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. The resurrection is such a positive thing, part of the Feast of Trumpets. And I don't want to downplay the negative situation. It's going to be a terrible time leading up to the return of Jesus Christ. And so we have to think about that as well on this day. All the horrible things that's going to take place, but there's a purpose for that. God knows that this world is not his world. This is the world of Satan. And Satan has influenced the minds of men since the very beginning. And because of that, he has to come back. He has to set in presence with the trumpets that will sound and the destruction of these governments that of this world. They will no longer be in effect, but he will come back and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But he will take over the thrones of the governments of this world. And it has to be destroyed. Mankind, if they continue to go the way they will literally destroy themselves if he doesn't intervene on their behalf. And so it's very, very important that Christ does return. And so we realize the events that are going to take place are perilous times ahead. They're going to be very, very difficult times. And later on, I'm going to give you some points that I want each and every one of us to hold on to as we wait patiently for the return of Jesus Christ. We'll talk about those a little bit later. But over in 1 Corinthians, we'll look at chapter 15. And let's look at verse 12. And again, I emphasize. Now, if Christ is preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? So there was many people that did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And so Paul's explaining this. If the resurrection didn't happen, if Paul says if Christ was not resurrected, there's no hope. There's no hope for us. We're lost. Those are in the grave are gone. They're perished, no longer to exist. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain, it says. And your faith is also in vain. But it's not, brethren. It's not. Let's look at verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. Actually, I want to step back. Let's look back at 34. Arise to righteousness and sin not. For some have not known the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. And he's emphasizing that even though individuals are raised, they're still working and developing. But some will say, how are the dead raised up? Well, how are they? How are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come up with? Do they come back up with the physical body? You fool, that which you sow is not quickened except it dies. And that which is sowed not the body that shall be, but bear gain, it shall change of wheat, and some as of grain. And so we're going to have a changed body. When we're resurrected, and those who are resurrected from the grave, they will have a changed body. A body of eternal life. What a fantastic opportunity. We will never experience death again when we are resurrected and given the opportunity of being in the kingdom of God. It's a wonderful, wonderful plan that God has for us. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will rise incorruptible, and we will be changed. The dead rise first, and then we follow. This is in verse 51 of chapter 15. So the whole book of 1 Corinthians 15 is about the resurrection and what takes place. In verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. And it is a mystery to many people. Many people don't have any understanding of what this plan is of God and what the resurrections. They're in the Bible, but I don't understand what the resurrections are. Why do we have to be resurrected if we're already up in heaven? It's confusing to a lot of people. But God makes it very clear to us through his Holy Spirit and understanding of the holy days, and particularly this holy day that tells us that God is going to intervene through Jesus Christ, setting up God's government, and he will perform the resurrection. Behold, I show you a mystery, verse 51. We shall not all sleep, and that's in reference to death, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall rise incorruptible. Again, what a fantastic plan that God has for mankind. This hope is what we're waiting for, and we're looking forward to when Jesus Christ comes in full power. It says, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, in verse 53, says, must put on incorruption. And this mortal, which is physical, must put immortality. So when this corruptible will be put on incorruption, and this mortal will put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass, and this is a fantastic saying, and it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? He says, there will be no victory in the grave. Rather, the resurrection will be the true victory for each and every one of us if we participate. The sting of death is sin. It's obvious. He who sins will reap the penalty of death. But the strength of the sin is the law of God. But thanks to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ set the example of the resurrection. What a fantastic part of the plan of God. It's not a secret rapture, as some people associate with. When Christ comes back, he's going to take his elect and whip them off the heaven, and it's secret. Nobody knows what's happening. The Bible says he's going to come from the north, and when he comes, every man shall see him, and that he's going to come in power and in glory. And when he shouts and the resurrected saints are resurrected, it's going to be a fantastic view. It's not going to be hidden. It's not going to be a secret rapture, as everybody who believes the rapture theory concept will say. It will be exciting. It will be eventful. The Feast of Trumpets is a fantastic holy day of a lot of excitement, a lot of joy, some sorrow, as I mentioned. There will be sorrow. Sorrow for mankind, because those who will not turn away from their evil ways and repent will suffer the consequence that this day pictures. But the fantastic part that we have, the resurrection that each and every one of us has the opportunity of participating in, will be what we're hopeful and looking forward to. Jesus Christ is anxious to come back. He's ready to come back. But only God the Father knows that time. Will it be in our lifetime? I don't know. I can't say yes. I can't say no. All I can say is when the time is right, when Jesus Christ returns, when he plans and God tells him, go, that's going to be the fantastic fulfillment of the resurrection period of time that we can all look forward to. Those who have the part in the first resurrection will rule with Jesus Christ on the earth. We're not going to stay up in heaven, as so many people think. That's it. That's the reward of the saved, is up in heaven. No, we're coming down. And there's going to be a great battle that's going to take place. But when the people see Christ coming, when the armies gather together to fight each other, they're going to look up and say, here comes an alien, or however they're going to view it. Some will know, as Ken said, that it is Christ returning, and they reject it. And they want to fight against him. And they have the audacity to think that they're going to defeat the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who's coming in power and glory. And who's coming with them? The saints are coming with them. That's hopefully it will be you and I. We'll be coming with them. We'll be giving a wonderful body, a spiritual body, a changed body, where we won't have the tiredness. We won't be weak, but we'll be spiritually strong as well. Brethren, till Christ returns and sets up the kingdom of God, and he resurrects the dead, the elect, those who have been called and have been faithful. You can read about them in Hebrews 11, the faithful that have endured. And many of them have endured terrible, terrible things. And we don't know what our future holds for each and every one of us individually. We know the times ahead will be perilous times. We know leading up to the return of Jesus Christ will be some of the worst events that ever happened on the earth. It'll be earth-shaking, even to the point where people will lose faith. And we're told in the Bible, when Christ returns, will he find faith on the earth? I'm going to say, yes, he will. He'll find it in the faithful people of God. That's where he'll find the faith. And he will be encouraged to know that there are followers that will endure and stay the course to the very end. And so when the resurrection is fulfilled, each and every one of us will have the wonderful opportunity, whether we actually physically see the return of Jesus Christ, or we have to wait in the grave for our resurrection. It'll be a fantastic time, brethren. But brethren, till Christ returns, what do we do? Do we just sit back and say, Christ, I'm waiting. That's it. That's all I got to do is wait for the return of Jesus Christ. And then when he calls, I'll be resurrected. Or if I'm dead, I'll be resurrected. But if I'm alive, I'll be changed. Well, there's things we can do, brethren, until we wait for the Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, to come and return and set up God's government. I'm going to give you three very basic points, very important points, points of what we can do till Christ returns. Number one, and I think most important, we have the opportunity to develop godly character right now. And we must. If we're going to be in the kingdom of God, and I feel most of us will be, some of us may have to wait for the second resurrection. We don't know where our children will stand at this point. We have to wait and see. Maybe the children's children. But if they're resurrected as well, depending when Christ comes, it's going to be a great gathering, a fantastic gathering. But brethren, we have to wait, and we have to wait and develop godly character. So let's look at Psalm 73. The book of Psalms and Proverbs are two of my favorite books. I quote them a lot because I get so much joy and understanding from these books. Psalm 73, and we'll look at verse 24. You shall guide me with your counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. So God will guide us with his counsel, his Holy Spirit. And if we continue to grow and develop godly character, we're going to be received to glory. And that's what the resurrection is about, and the changing from physical to spiritual. So there is the glory that we will receive. Over in Ephesians, I'm going to quote quite a few scriptures here. It's kind of cute. The last time I came out to Bethlehem, a little boy came up to me and says, why do you speak so long? I wasn't sure how to address that. I thought about it. Well, most people say I don't speak long. And he thought, man, you speak long. I said, I had a lot of things to say, I guess, but did you remember what I said? And he smiled and said, yes. Well, I promise you I'm not going to speak long because the meal's getting ready and you're just getting hungry. But this is a very important day. And it's very important that we realize the resurrection is what we have been hope and waiting for. And when this day is fulfilled, it'll be a great, joyous occasion. It'll be a wonderful blessing for each and every one of us. But till Christ comes, we have to endure. We have to continue to patiently wait. But most importantly, we need to develop character. So over in Ephesians chapter 3, we'll look at verse 17. And I'm breaking into the thought here. It says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. And so Christ dwelling in us will continue to develop the fruits. And what are the fruits? Grounded in love, which are the fruits of the Spirit. Again, these are all wonderful things we need to do. Continue to develop godly character. As I said earlier, those who are not developing godly character can become weary. And they can fall away. And there's examples in the Bible of the sowing of the seed. I don't plan to go that direction, but you can read that and realize that there will be some that will fall away. And so it's very, very important, brethren, that we don't fall away, but we continue to develop godly character. Proverbs. I mentioned Proverbs, one of my favorite books. Proverbs chapter 2. We'll look at verse 5. Well, as I get older, my eyes get weaker, and so sometimes I struggle to turn the pages and see. These glasses, they're only a temporary thing that I'm going to have. When I become spirit being, I won't have to deal with glasses, and neither will you. So that'll be another blessing of receiving a eternal life. We won't have to worry about things like glasses that get in the way sometimes. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 5. Then shall you understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. Brethren, we need to have the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So it is God who gives it to us. We don't get it ourselves. We don't think, oh, I know that, I can understand. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us understanding and gives us the full purpose and godly character within us. For the Lord gives wisdom, out of the mouth, verse 6, comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up the sound wisdom for the righteous. So if we want to be righteous, we have to have godly character and wisdom. He is a buckler to them that walk upright. He keeps the path of judgment and preserves the day of his saints. And so he is, again, waiting for the return for the day of his saints. So godly character is vitally important. Let's look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we'll look at verse 5 again. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And besides this, here it's telling us what we should be adding on. It's very, very important. As we're adding godly character, these are the characteristics that we need to be putting on as we're waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. Verse 5. And besides this, actually we can go back to verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And these are promises of the eternal life that we talked about, the resurrection, and the great hope that we're looking forward to. That they might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. And this world is Satan's world. We understand that. There's coming a day when Satan will no longer be in control of this worldly world's lusts and desires. But till that happens, we have to develop character and we have to resist the devil. He will tempt us and he will do whatever he can to get us to turn away from righteous character. And so that's why it's even more that we give our diligence strong observance and in reference to godly character. Verse 5, it says, and besides this, giving all diligence, as we talked about, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. Key word, patience. Very, very important. A lot of times people get very impatient. In fact, in the end time, before Christ returns, people are going to be mocking people that are waiting patiently for Jesus Christ. They say, where's this coming? He's been saying he's coming for generations. And they'll make fun and mockery of the return of Jesus Christ. Well, they will have their eyes open when that happens. And patience is a character that they'll have to develop. But we have to develop now. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. If you have these things in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. So again, very, very important that we develop godly character as we're waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. Nor we will not be unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, one more scripture in reference to godly character. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll look at verse 12. Because it's important that we realize, where do we get the character, the strength, the power to be able to resist temptations that Satan will throw at us? To get us to destroy us so that we're not in the plan of God, but rather we'll be destroyed. This is where we receive it. Now, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. So it's not man's wisdom that we learn and teach and understand, but that which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So, brethren, most importantly, let's keep growing. Let's grow in grace and knowledge. Let's develop godly character as we're waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. Most importantly, God expects us to to be righteous, godly people. And we got to be on guard for Satan. He will try to destroy us. But we have a wonderful opportunity as we're waiting to develop godly character. Now, the second point that I want to talk about is enduring to the end. Not halfway, not three-quarters of the way, not seven-eighths of a way, all the way to the end. Now, endurance to the end means till Christ returns. Whether we endure to this physical life, and then we pass away and wait in the grave for the return of Jesus Christ, or if we're blessed, if we're actually blessed to see the return of Jesus Christ physically. I saw a sunset last night. I looked at the sky. I don't know if it happened in your area. It was fantastic. I mean, it was like Christ was coming. The sky was just brilliant in colors and the cloud formation. And I said to my wife, I said, you got to see this. So she came out and Mary came out. I don't know where Dennis was. But he didn't see it, apparently. But we were looking at the sky, and I was thinking, wow, that's just a tiny, itty-bitty view of what it's going to be like when God comes back in power and in glory, and the sky opens up and rolls back, as Ken was talking about, and the horses are coming with Jesus Christ and the saints, which hopefully we will be. It was just a small portion of what we're going to do. When the world sees it, it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be a fantastic plan. And we have to endure to the end, brethren. Let's look at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And we'll look at verse 22. And this is part of the sad things that do happen. We talked about this world is not our world. You shall be hated of all men for my sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved. And so we're going to have to endure persecution. We're going to have to endure hatred. People, oh, you Jewish people. I worked for a Jewish man once, and I told him, I said, well, I'm not Jewish, but I said, I do keep some of the days that are similar to the Jews. He said, well, these are my feast days. You're not allowed to keep them. I said, no, they're God's feast days, and God commands me to keep them. So it was an interesting meeting. He called me and he had me in for a two-hour meeting discussing the Holy Day season. And at the end, his wife looks over and said, Ben, he's more righteous than we are. He's more Jewish than we are. I never forgot that. It just sticks in my mind. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be enduring to the end and developing godly character. And God wants us to endure to the end. If we say, it doesn't matter these days, you know, I can keep them, maybe not. Well, God's going to test us whether we're going to remain faithful or not, and whether we're going to endure to the end. Every one of us are going to have to face whatever trials we face in the upcoming years ahead. He never said it would be easy. If you want to live a righteous life, you're going to live the hard road. The straight and narrow is the hard way to go, but it leads to the kingdom of God. If you're going to take the wide path and have all the fun and the joys of those societies in the world, you're going to go down the wrong path and it leads to destruction. You have a choice. God gives us a choice. You can endure to the end, remain faithful, and be true to God's way, or you can wishy-washy, well, I'll keep it, well, I won't, well, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. God's watching. He's watching and he's observing and he's seeing, are we going to endure to the end? Are we going to be faithful? Are we going to be appreciative of the plan that he has for us? Let's look at Philippians, while we're in the New Testament. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And I think this is encouraging when we endure to the end. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you. And so God's rooting for you. He says, I put a work in you, a good work, and that it will be formed until the day of the Lord, Jesus Christ. And so he's confident. We also need to be confident that we can endure to the end. And if we endure and we are faithful and we are developing good work in us, then we will be in God's kingdom. What a wonderful knowledge to know the plan of God. Man doesn't understand God's plan. Many think that they're going to heaven or they're going to hell, and you're either saved or you're lost. But we know the plan of God, and in the future, holy days that we'll be observing, what that pictures as well. But this day is a wonderful day for each and every one of us. And I hope you hold on to that. I mean, really grasp it and fully appreciate what God has for us. If you think about it, God didn't have to create any of us. He had the angelic beings already up in heaven. He could have been satisfied and content with that. And the kingdom could have went on without us. But he created each and every one of us with the opportunity of being in his kingdom. But he does expect us to endure to the end. And like I said, it's not going to be an easy path. If you're going to stay on the straight and narrow, you're going to face trials. Trials that will test whether you can have godly character or not. So it's very important that we endure and we fulfill it all the way. 2 Peter chapter 2, or chapter 1, I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 1. And let's look at verse 10. And I think, again, more encouraging words about enduring to the end and developing godly character here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Give diligence and election for your calling to be sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. So, brethren, if we trust in God and we know he's coming, with Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we endure to the end, wherever that end is, whether we end physically, our lives die and perish temporarily till the return of Jesus Christ, or we have the blessed opportunity. There is a generation that will physically live to see the return of Jesus Christ. If we are blessed to see that, we must endure to the end till the return of Jesus Christ, wherever we fall in that category, whether we are waiting in the graves for the resurrection, or whether we are changed from physical to spiritual, we have to endure. And if we continue to make our calling sure and endure to the end, we will be saved. We will be in God's kingdom. There are encouraging scriptures in Matthew 24 again. Let's go back to Matthew 24. We were there earlier. Matthew 24 and verse 13. But he that endures to the end, and that's what I'm encouraging, brethren, endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And so we will be saved if we endure to the end. One more scripture, Mark 13, in reference to endurance. Mark 13, and we'll look at verse 13. Now, that's funny. When I was picking scriptures, you got 13, 13, 5, 5. It's just funny how sometimes that works. And I want to make a comment in a minute here, reference to Numbers. Mark 13, verse 13. And you shall be hated again of all men for my sake, but he that endures to the end will be saved. So, brethren, we are going to face trials. We are going to face difficult times, perilous times, times that the world will be shaken from its foundation. And if we don't endure to the end, we won't be in God's kingdom. We either have a choice of being in God's kingdom or not in God's kingdom. There's no in between. You're either in the kingdom or you're not. Well, brethren, we want to be in God's kingdom. And part of being in God's kingdom, we have to endure to the end. So it's very, very important. We must endure to the end. The third point I want to talk about, and it's very obvious, we must wait for the return of Jesus Christ. And that's hard, brethren. A lot of people are very impatient. I talked about scoffers at the end time. They'll be mocking. He's been talking about coming back for years. Generations talk about the return of Jesus. And they'll make fun and make mockery of if you talk that you're waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. People will actually tell you, oh, that's just hogwash. Well, they're going to learn. They're going to know when Christ comes in full power and full glory. They will understand Christ is coming. That's a promise. But when does he come? We don't know. Only God knows. And when God fulfills that day, Christ is anxious. He's ready to go. It's like holding a horse back. Oh, Christ is like that. He wants to go. But God says, not yet, not yet, not yet. Go. I think it's going to be exciting. But till that happens, we have to wait for the return of Jesus Christ. And that's a tough one, brethren. Because, you know, we want it now. We see the horrible things that take place in this world, and that's just the tip of the iceberg that's going to happen in the end time. Man will be lovers of themselves, haters of God, despisers and users. Terrible things. Timothy tells us about all the different characteristics of what this world's going to be like. It's not a pleasant world, brethren, that this world holds, because it's been influenced by Satan for all this time. But waiting for the return of Jesus Christ is what we have to do. We don't have a choice. You're either going to wait or you're not. That's what it comes down to. Are you willing to wait for the return of Jesus Christ? I think we are. I think we have. That's what faith, having faith and trusting in God, is waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. Let's look at Hosea. Hosea chapter 12. And we'll look at verse 6. I'll look at verse 5. I'm sorry, I should have emphasized verse 5. Even the Lord of hosts, the Lord is his memorial. Therefore turn you to your God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on your God continually. Continually, brethren. It's not a short wait. We've been waiting. You think about it. I was a teenager. I'm not a teenager anymore. I've been waiting a long time. You've been waiting a long time for the return of Jesus Christ. But God says we got to continue to wait. It's a process. It's what we're going to have to do. And as we wait faithfully, we will be in God's kingdom. But God says, wait on God continually. And we have to wait. We have to be patient. Paul writes about the example of the running of the race. And that's a wonderful analogy of running a race. When I was in high school, I did participate in track. And I was a short-distant runner. I wasn't a long-distance runner. I couldn't run long distance like some can. I had speed, so I did the short races, the 100-yard dash and the 200 as a relay as well. But you physically have to run the race, and you have to endure. And you have to wait and complete it, get to the finish line. You can't go halfway, you can't go three quarters, and many people do. Many people fall out along the way, as the example of the sowing of the seed. Some fall along the wayside. Brethren, we got to develop godly character, we got to endure to the end, and we got to wait patiently for the return of Jesus Christ. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians again. We were there earlier, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And verse 10, here again it says, and to wait for the Son from heaven. So we know Christ is coming from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus Christ. And that who is coming, Jesus Christ, he's coming, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So brethren, yes, the times are going to be hard, but we will be spared a lot of the difficult times ahead when we change from physical to spiritual. So that's part of our waiting. We wait for the return of Jesus Christ, and when we are changed, it'll be a fantastic wait. What a fantastic wait for each and every one of us. Isaiah. I couldn't give a sermon without talking about Isaiah, especially around the holy days. Isaiah 64, verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, I talked about men scoffers at the end time. This is the scripture that I want to refer to. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor either have seen the eye, O God, besides you, what he has prepared for those who wait for him. Nobody fully understands all the fantastic blessings that we're going to receive, but we have to wait for him. He's preparing some wonderful things in the kingdom of God, and we'll be hearing about that at the Feast of Tabernacles later on. Next month when we observe the Feast of Tabernacles. That's one of God's holy days. But we have to wait. It says we must wait for him, for the return of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 25. Isaiah 25. And verse 9. And again, a very, very encouraging scripture here. It shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We should be saying this. This is our God. We have waited for Him. And we have, brethren, we have waited for Him. And He will save us. And that's what's part of the resurrection is all about. And the changing from physical to spiritual. That He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and we will rejoice in His salvation. Brethren, I hope you rejoice on this day. I know it's a day of gloom. There is many things that are sad that's going to happen. But it's also a day of rejoicing when the fulfillment of this day comes to its full potential. And each and every one of us are resurrected, whether we die or whether we are changed from physical to spiritual. It's a waiting process. But it's a wonderful, wonderful time of rejoicing and holding on to the truths of God and enduring to the end. These are all things that we must do in order to wait for the return of Jesus Christ. Because of time, I'm just going to refer to a few more scriptures. You can write them down and read them yourself. And they're all pretty much in the book of Psalms. So when you go back to the book of Psalms, you can stay there and read them. Please read Psalm 25, verse 5. Psalms 25, verse 5. Read that one. And while you're in the book of Psalms, read 27, verse 14. Psalms 27 and verse 14. And while you're in the book of Psalms, read Psalms 37 and verse 7. These are all in reference to waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. One more Revelation 20, if you turn to Revelation 20. And this will be the last scripture. So, yes, I am cutting it short for my little boy friend. Revelation 22. We're wrapping it up. Verse 20. He which testifies these things say, surely I come quickly. Amen. And John says, even so, come Lord Jesus. So Jesus is going to come quickly when He does come. He's waiting for the command of God to say, go. And when He says go, brethren, the world's going to see it. There's going to be a real shaking of what's going on. There's going to be some perilous times ahead, but some wonderful times ahead too. This day, when it is fully fulfilled, is our day. It's our day, brethren. A day of rejoicing. A time when we will become spirit beings. And we will reign with Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. What a wonderful blessing, what a wonderful understanding of the plan of God. The resurrection is a vital, important part of this day. Brethren, I'm going to look forward to those who have died and are waiting in the grave. You know individuals personally. I know of individuals personally. And I'll mention a few names. I think you'll know them. Edwin Gogler, Gladys Gogler, Robert Gogler. That's just three of individuals I'm looking forward to. Of seeing resurrected into the eternal family of God. And we will have the opportunity to personally be with all the individuals in the Bible who will be resurrected. We too will be part of that heavenly host that God talks about. And when Christ returns and sets up His government, we have the wonderful knowledge, the wonderful opportunity of being part of it. This day is a fantastic day. It's a time of rejoicing. It's a time of sorrow, yes. But brethren, it's a wonderful time and a wonderful plan that God has for each and every one of us.